With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Welcome back, Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. You can check us out on the TV side on NBC Sports Washington. Joining us right now on the BetQL Guest Hotline, Bet Smarter, Beat the Books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. It's Mike Rizzo, President and GM of your Washington Nationals. He's brought to you by Main Street Bank. They are a business-focused community bank serving neighborhoods throughout the DMV. Main Street Bank, put their team in your office. Visit them at mstreetbank.com. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, fellas. How are you?
So what was the last week like for you? You know, when you had the Cardinals GM in the box with you, there was speculation and all this speculation about you dealing with three teams. You know, we actually had a bet about whether you were sleeping at 6:15 in the morning.
I knew you were awake. I had full confidence you were awake yesterday, Mike.
What was it like for you this last week and then the last day till you made the deal for Juan Soto?
Well, actually, the last couple of weeks, you know, when you go through the draft preparation, then the draft, then you're signing your draft picks, then you just get dumped right into this trade deadline stuff and all that, all the busyness that we had there. The front office has been grinding for about 3 weeks in a row, and this last week was a culmination of a lot of coffee, not much sleep, in the office for, you know, 13, 14 hours a day, just trying to get our you know, get our plan together, and it was a it was well run by our front office. They're a great bunch of young guys, and I think we executed our plan, you know, very, very well.
All right, before we get into, you know, some of the guys that are going to be new members of this organization, a couple months ago you came on this show and said pretty unequivocally you weren't going to trade Juan Soto. For the fans that just can't wrap their brains around it, that are angry, that are upset with you, how do you explain that change in we're not going to trade him to obviously now he's been traded to the Padres?
Well, the statement was made with you know, all the right intent in mind. We believed that we were going to build a team around Juan, but then two historical offers that went that were said no to, no communication and no counter offers. We got the impressions in that we weren't going to be able to extend Juan beyond this contract, and he was going to become a free agent. So we had to change our plans, and you know, the landscape and the plans are fluid, and we felt that you know, when we're thinking about it and thinking that we were going to be really feel unable to extend Juan, we felt that if we got the right offer, we at least needed to look at all of our options, and we did.
So do you think that there was a deal that he couldn't have turned down? Or do you think he always wanted to go to free agency?
I don't know. The agent has a history of taking most of their superstar players to free agency, and just the tenor and the tone of the conversations led us to believe that we made three offers in the last year to Juan, and none of them were countered, and there was not much discussion besides no, we're not going to take that offer. So it's what I kind of read into it, and knowing the uncertainties of the ownership situation, we felt that it was unlikely that he's going to sign an extension before he went to free agency.
Mike, we know that your job is to put the best team together to win as many games as possible. It's not to placate the fans, but what would you say to fans that have the stance of, I could stomach the departures of Bryce, Max, Trey, Rendon, but Soto getting dealt, that's a bridge too far. I just can't be a Nats fan anymore. How do you back those fans kind of off that ledge that some of them are on at this point?
Well, you can't forget that Anthony and Trey and Max and Harper and all these guys, they were the Abrams and the Hassels and the Woods of the world before they became superstars. And that's what I would tell the fans. We put ourselves in a position to have sustained success. And we're hoping that this trade, last trade deadline, the last couple of drafts have allowed us to supplement the talent base. And our job is our goal is to win championships. And I would say to the fan base, just look at our record compared to everybody else's record. We're right there with the best of them. We've won a world championship recently. We've won division titles, and we put a good, consistent, competitive product on the field. We've taken a downturn right now. There's no question about it. But I see when history is the best indicator, and through the last downturn we had, we went on to have a decade of success after that. And that's our goal, and that's our plan to do it, and to do it as quickly as possible.
Talking to Mike Rizzo from the Nats. Mike, I don't know if you can answer this question. I'm going to ask it, but were the Dodgers a close second in their offer to the Padres?
Yeah, I don't want to get into who was the last team and the last. It started out to be a good number of teams interested, obviously, uh-huh. But then when it got down to the ask, and we put the bar extremely high. I mean, we were extremely aggressive with it, and we felt to ourselves, if someone reaches this bar, then we made a good deal. And then we would think about trading Juan because he's such an iconic, great player. We needed to get that iconic, return back for him. And if nobody did reach that plateau, then we would keep him because we would have him for two more years. So it was a position of pretty much of strength because we were getting the deal we wanted, or we were going to do the deal. And only one team met and exceeded the compensation package that we want. It was the Padres. And hats off for them for being aggressive and getting a great player.
Did you know that Hosmer was going to block that with the no trade? And then how did the Luke Voit deal come to replace him? How did that all go down?
Well, the sixth player in the deal we knew was going to be a big league player with a major league component on it. And there was a list of three of several players there that would be with us. And the Padres just had to work out which player it was.
Gotcha.
So we put in there a block of players, like kind of a player to be named later, and they were going to name the player later, and they did.
Gotcha.
And Mike, give us your thoughts on Juan Soto as just a person, not as a player. He signed with the Nats as an international free agent back in July of 2015. If my math is right, as a 16-year-old, you can correct me on that if I'm wrong. So you've known him since he was a kid. You've seen him develop and grow as a young man over the last 7 or 8 years. We heard there were tears shed during the goodbyes. I mean, that had to be like a brutal scene, parting with Juan Soto from the clubhouse for you and his teammates over the past few years.
Brutal scene. It was very, very difficult. I had kept Juan and Josh in the loop on where we were at during the trade talks and that type of thing. Because I think it's only right to inform them because they're reading all the stuff that's out there and that type of thing. So they were kept in the loop. I had called Juan earlier that day, that morning, and told them that there's nothing imminent. There's nothing imminent, but we are making momentum. So it's a possibility just to protect him and warn him against all the social media stuff out there. And then when we made the trade, I did go down there and had a nice conversation with Juan. He thanked me for signing him and kind of discovering him down in Dominican and the way we developed him and the relationships that he had with the coaches and that type of thing. It was a warm farewell, and it was very emotional. I told him I loved him, and he'll always be a part of my history and my family. And you know, go on and have a, you know, the career that we all think you're going to have. And that was it. But yeah, we signed him at 16 and a half years old. I've known him since he's 14. And it was, yeah, it's a very emotional, emotional time.
Mike, it's hard to tell the Nats fans to be patient. Okay, they're a little spoiled because you've been to the playoffs five times in 10 years and won a championship. It's hard to tell them that. But when we look at the roster of prospects that you guys have down, you know, in A-ball and double, triple A, a lot of these kids are 20. Hassel's 20. You know, Brady House is 19. James Wood, my buddy's kid, we talked about him, 19. He's going to be in Fredericksburg. Vaquero, who you've talked about, 17. Susanna, 18. I mean, you got teenagers. So when can you tell Nats fans you got to be patient until what year? When do you expect some of these prospects to be on the big club?
A couple of the on the big club, you know, relatively soon. You know, C.J. Abrams is a 21-year-old, you know, kind of electrifying shortstop that's, you know, we're sending him to AAA for now just to get his feet wet in the organization like we did with Keibert Ruiz the year before. That transition period, you know, coming from the only organization that you have ever been in to a new organization across the country is difficult. So we wanted to make that transition easier. So, but you know, we should see him in the near future. Mackenzie Gore is, you know, has a chance to be a frontline starting pitcher to put in the mix with, you know, with Gray and Cavalli and Henry and that group of good young arms. You know, once he gets over this little arm injury, then he should be, you know, able to come to the big leagues. And the rest of them are outstanding, exciting, high-end, impact possible prospects. And prospects come at their own pace. Now we've brought three players at 19 to the big leagues in the past. So you know, to me, chronological age is not the factor. It's when a player is ready to pitch and play in the big leagues, we bring them, and they all come and they all develop at a different timeline.
What about some of the other players? I don't know how much you can talk about this, that you had on 1 year deals that you might have signed just to kind of be a trade piece. The Nelly Cruzes of the world, maybe Hernandez, Franco. I don't know, some other guys that are just kind of filling out the roster that maybe other teams were interested in. Was there anybody else asking about some of those guys?
Well, it's a fine line. You know, Nelly Cruz is such a mentor and such a presence in the clubhouse with especially with our younger Latin players that I wasn't just going to give him away for nothing just to move on. He likes it here. He wanted to be here, so he's a terrific teammate and leader in the clubhouse. So we didn't get the level of prospect that we wanted for him. So we kept him, and you know, that was the case for several of the guys. We're just not going to give away our talented players. You know, Edwards has we have a couple of him, you know, beyond this year, and Finnegan. There was a lot of interest in them, but not to the point where you know, you give away a good you know, late inning guy like Finnegan. If you don't like the prospect returning, you can control him for multiple years. So you know, that's always the decision process that you make.
Joined by Mike Rizzo, president and GM of the Washington Nationals. I feel kind of bad for Josh Bell. Like he's almost an afterthought in the Juan Soto deal, but that's a valuable player for you this season. He goes along to San Diego as well. I feel like he should be getting a little more love, a little more shine, but overshadowed by Juan Soto, obviously.
Yeah, he's had two terrific seasons for us, and you know, one of the great makeup guys that we've ever brought in here. And I remember when we traded for him a couple of years ago, that the class and presence that he brought to the clubhouse, and he worked extremely hard, made himself a really good defensive first baseman, which was a weakness of his, and a hats off to you know, Tim Bogaard at the big league level for just working him into a position where he's played really well for us defensively at first, you know, he's a guy that you know, we felt that, you know, for 2 months of his, you know, career remaining here before he's a free agent, that we thought that we should package him with Juan. They were very aggressive with that, it got us the extra player that we coveted from the Padres system. So we were pleased with the return for him.
Mike, I'm probably going to get a no comment on this answer, but was Patrick Corbin ever discussed in any of these trade packages?
No, we did not put Patrick in any of the discussions. I think I made that clear to all the GMs that he was talked about in an independent deal, but it didn't make sense for us. But not in the context of a Soto deal, if that's what you're talking about.
Okay,
a couple things, Mike, and you kind of talked about this last week, but just touching the people. Taking calls, people tweeting in. A lot of people wonder about the ownership situation. So you mentioned three offers were out there, two historic offers. You got no's or nothing really from the other side, just no's. People wonder about the current ownership versus future ownership, the timeline of that. And when you say we're going to put ourselves in position to have sustained success, how long is that going to take? What's the timeline to get there?
I don't have a timeline. Development goes at its own pace. But I think that if history is any precursor, you've got the history of what these rebuilds look like. And when you're rebuilding back in 2009 and you go from 2012 to 2019 as a championship caliber club, I think you see the plan and the success and when we feel that this is a more of a reboot than a rebuild because we have had pieces there prior to last year's start of the reboot at the last trade deadline. So we think that there's precedent here, there's history here, there's a blueprint and a roadmap to get back to superiority and being a championship caliber club and I think that's a good precursor on how we're going to do it again and the timeline and the success that we will have once we get there.
And potential new ownership is, you talked about this last week, it doesn't even come into play for you?
No, it's just business as usual. I work for the Lerner family. They're the owners. They're my boss, and they give me my marching orders.
Mm-hmm. Mike, where are some of these players, once they get into town, where would they be going? I know that Wood is going to Fredericksburg. Where is Hassel going to go?
I believe we have Hassel going to Wilmington in High A, and Susanna is going to go to the Florida Complex League, and then probably to Fredericksburg. CJ is going to begin, as I said, in AAA in Rochester. And McKenzie's going to come to the big leagues, and he'll be on his rehab schedule, and then we'll see where he goes from there as far as a rehab assignment and that type of stuff.
All right, so you had no concern over that injury?
People who went to medical school have had no concerns with it, okay. So we trust our medical staff.
All right. Okay. All right. All right, this is a big deal, man. This is a big one.
Oh, did you have a cocktail afterwards? Oh, we were speculating that last
probably
week.
Probably add a little bit, like extra heavy
pour. What was last night like for you?
Last night was, we had a beat up front office staff. We were in my GM box watching the game, and there was not a lot of conversation. There was not a lot of energy left in that room. So I went home and I collapsed. I was done until I got up to do this interview.
Oh. Hey, Mike, I was glad, by the way, that you wore the World Series ring to the presser and just showed it to everybody. Said, this is what me and my staff can do. Just to remind everybody, glad you wore that ring to the presser. I thought that was a good move by you.
It's nice flex.
Well, I appreciate it. And it was, I thought it was important to remind the people that there's better days ahead. And we're not resting on our laurels with that one ring. We're not satisfied with it. In that 12 to 19 run, I thought we should have won more than one ring. But
sure.
We didn't. We won one. But we did win one. And it's not easy to do. And a lot of organizations would kill to have the success that we've had. Over the last 10 years,
like the Padres, they would kill for what the Nats have been able to do. It would.
You would have to think so. There's a lot of organizations that look towards us as a successful organization that they'd like to emulate. So,
Mike, I know you have no idea who the bosses are going to be after Mark and they sell, but and Juan will be a free agent, unrestricted free agent in end of 24, right, or 25. Whatever year that is.
The winter of 25, yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, you can tease the fans a little bit and say, we could still be in play and signing him to a free agent deal in 2025.
Well, Juan Soto's near and dear to my heart. He's one of the great players in the game. And, he's with another team, so I can't talk about him. But I know him probably as well as anybody in the baseball. So.
Okay. He
always those possibilities.
Leaves it nice and open-ended. That's perfect. I love it.
All right, Mike. Appreciate your candor, and I guess congratulations because you pulled off a deal, which sometimes is not hard or not easy to do. Thanks.
Thank you, Mike.
Appreciate it, guys.
Yep.
Thanks.
Talk to you soon. Congratulations is the right word, but
I don't know.
We won't be able to tell until
a delay.
Probably until
congratulations.
Probably until after Soto's current deal is up.
Right.
The thing is, most people said if you're ultimately going to lose him, and you're going to trade him, better to trade him now. Then later.
That's why we have to convince the fans.
I think it's a lock wherever Mike Rizzo is in 2025, whether it's here in Washington or working for another team, who knows what the future holds. He's going to make a play for Juan Soto if he can.
800-636-1067 if you want to chime in on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. You just heard from Mike Rizzo. Your reaction next on the Junkies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.